had to go about it, write it out and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you. I had to fail, had to fall, just for what I did well. And there's some stories I can tell you.
Yeah, hey, Akrisha. This is The Final Word, a World Cup Daily. Day 10, India, Pakistan, Ahmedabad, Jeff Lemon and Parat Sundaresan for Westfield, London. More extra, less ordinary. Parat, please tell us about the entire match in the space of 30 seconds.
Rohit Sharma wins the toss, elects to field. Abdullah Shafiq and Imam Ul Haq get off to a decent start. Then Abdullah Shafiq gets out, Imam Ul Haq gets out. Babar Azam, Rizwan put on a partnership. They look like they're guiding Pakistan to a good total. And then Kuldeep Yadav, Jasprit Bumrah and Mohammad Siraj get together. Collapse for Pakistan, 5 for 16, which becomes 8 for 36. They are rolled over for 191. Rohit Sharma starts off, bats like a dream. Shubman Gill comes back, hits four fours, looks like a dream. But then it is Rohit Sharma who carries on, makes 86 for 63, makes it look like it's the easiest batting pitch to bat on. And then India coast home with Shreyas Iyer and KL Rahul not out with nearly 20 overs to spare.
Boom. Out of the park. I think that's your best 30-second summary yet. I mean, my spidey senses suggest maybe it was like 32 seconds or 34, but you were close and it got so much information in because a lot happened in this game. Eight in a row for India over Pakistan at World Cups. I'm sure they'll tell you all about that number for a long period of time. That's what all the build-up was about. Could Pakistan break the streak? They did win at the T20 World Cup a couple of years ago, so at least they have a World Cup win over India in some form, but in terms of the 50-over stuff. I mean, people are saying that this might be the last 50-over World Cup. We might get one or two more in. Conceivably, Pakistan might never beat India at a 50-over World Cup if it wraps up before too long. But it didn't look that way at the beginning. Yeah. The way Pakistan started today, they didn't look overawed by the occasion. Yep, big stadium, big build-up, big hype, all the rest of it. Abdullah Shafiq and Imam Ul Haq came out and looked terrific early on, cautious against some good deliveries, laid into Mohammad Siraj. Imam in particular took him for three boundaries in an over, and they were ticking along okay. And then, yes, Abdullah Shafiq gets out leg before, but Imam carries on with Babar Azam. So they put on 41 for that first wicket, and then they're up to 70-odd for the second by the time Imam gets out, and then Babar and Rizwan get together, and they put on 96. And at this stage, you're thinking, well, okay, these guys are set for a pretty imposing target here. They batted so well. They played all the shots. That pair together, cuts, drives, pulls, flicks, sweeps, the lot, and then everything changed very quickly. Unless there's something from the previous bit, from that partnership that you want to talk about as well.
No, but even going back to the start, Abdullah Shafiq batted like someone who doesn't have or didn't have the baggage of all these defeats.
Yeah.
He didn't play in 2019.
He's Imam a baggage handler. He knows how to handle baggage.
He does. And there was that one shot in particular where he kind of just takes two steps down to Jasprit Bumrah, kind of pumps him over mid-on. And you're like, wow, Pakistan are rolling. What, they raised to 40-odd of eight overs. But that's Rohit Sharma's first masterstroke. A lot of captains in this World Cup we've seen give their new ball bowlers around three over bursts, especially in these hot conditions, but he gives Siraj the extra over even though Siraj is going for runs, and Siraj gets him that wicket. Hardik Pandya the same. He doesn't look flash at all, Hardik Pandya, and the first two overs goes for around 20 runs. Imam's going after him, and Babar Azam flicking him away, and then he keeps him on. He gets Imam Ul Haq, and I think that was the trend for the rest of the day. Rohit Sharma got nothing wrong, and the partnership that you spoke about, Babar Azam and Mohammad Rizwan, also kind of told you that it wasn't the easiest pitch to bat on. The ball was stopping. Kuldeep Yadav was bowling beautifully using the pitch. Jadeja was bowling really well in the middle overs. Yep. Shardul Thakur went for runs. So India had to stick to their spinners, and they were doing a good job. But still.
And Jadeja almost gets Rizwan, second, third ball. He was on one or two at the time. Rizwan gets him given out LBW and then overturned. It's just missing the leg stump. So green could have been yellow very easily. But then they got together and handled the spin really well too, Babar and Rizwan together.
They did. And you said earlier, Rizwan always plays the sweep really well. But Babar Azam looked in that special touch. He'd never made a 50 before this against India in ODI cricket. Makes his first 50, gets to race his bat. And it's at that point that he gets out. Yep. Siraj is brought back. And Siraj goes for nearly 17 runs in his first over of that spell.
And just before he gets the wicket, goes for three fours again, like he did earlier. Three boundaries in five balls, all of them hit by Rizwan. And then a couple of deliveries later, a single, and he manages to get that one that sneaks through Babar Azam.
It does. And it came out of nowhere. At that point, Pakistan are scoring just over 5 and over. It didn't look like 300 could be possible, but who knows? If maybe you felt if these two could kick on, and then you expose the likes of Iftikhar Ahmed and Mohammad Nawaz and
who could come out and hit with, say, 10 overs to go.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's where you thought the innings was going. But having seen Pakistan play a lot against India in World Cups, from the time I was a little boy, Jeff Lemon, you knew there was always going to be a collapse. But not that dramatic a collapse. I really did think that, yes, they will not get to 300, but they'll get to 240-odd, and then the dew will come, and then India will chase it down. But then that collapse was dramatic.
The Siraj deliveries, they're both cross-seam. So he has the seam facing this way. If you're watching a video, it's not very useful on audio. The seam's facing sideways across the bowler's chest, if you will, and he's holding it with his fingers over the cheek of the ball. And so he spins it down like that, and that's the one that gets him the wicket early on. And that's the one that gets him Barber as well, because it just shifts a little bit after it moves. It clips the outside of off stump. It's a beautiful piece of bowling. And then Sal Shakeel comes out, comes and goes, throws the bat. Iftikhar sweeps, gets a glove back onto leg stump. And suddenly Kuldeep's got two in and over, and they're up. They're rocking and rolling, and it just keeps going from there.
And what does Rohit Sharma do? He brings back Jasprit Bumrah. Another master stroke. Mm-hmm. Jasprit Bumrah had bowled 4 overs in his first spell. Had bowled well, but hadn't gone for taken any wickets. He'd been pumped for 4, like I said earlier, by Abdullah Shafiq. And Jasprit Bumrah, all I kept thinking of when he took those 2 wickets was, we missed out on 12 months of this, right? We missed out on 12 months of this genius of Jasprit Bumrah.
Yeah.
And the first thought that came to mind when he bowled that off-cutter, which I think was recorded at around 129 kilometers an hour, I'm going to say. Not really slow, but slow enough to beat Mohammad Rizwan through the gap. And it reminded me of the 2 slow balls he'd bowled. Remember Sean Marsh, last ball before lunch?
Yeah.
Yes, when Rohit Sharma, not captain at that point, had recommended or suggested it to him. And that famous slow ball to Ollie Robinson at Lords. But then just the genius of Jasprit Bumrah wasn't just limited to that delivery.
It moved so far. There is literally nothing Rizwan can do about that. Like it moves, what, most of a foot, maybe like 9 inches laterally off the seam, as it were, from outside the off stump, and clatters his off stump. And then he bowls Shadab Khan an over later with a different one that goes the other way, that's coming in at about middle and then decks away from the bat. It's very hard to know what to do about that. Like, I'm sure people will get stuck into Pakistan and say, oh, you know, they were shit house. They collapsed. Yeah, 5 for 16. They suck. That was really, really good middle overs bowling. And reviewing as well, the Sal Shakeel one, they is given not out on the field and sent upstairs, the Kuldeep LBW as well. So that's smart reviewing from India. But wickets in the middle overs wins you one-day internationals. And we saw it in 2019, particularly with Liam Plunkett for England between 2015 and 2019. If I remember rightly off the top of my head, I think he took more wickets in those middle overs from 20 to 40 or however it is that you define it than anybody in the world. Bumrah and Kuldeep, after Siraj gives them the opening, they come through and they do exactly that. They take wickets in the middle, and that's what just flattens any sort of inflation of that total towards the end. Then you've got the tail coming in. They have a bit of a swing. They do what they can, but Mohammad Nawaz isn't going to save the day. No. Hassan Ali can smash a few, but he hits one up in the air. Mm. And then, you know, they're soon out for 191, which is never going to be enough.
Yeah, and from the 30th over onwards, where you felt like, like you said earlier, Iftikhar Ahmed will come in maybe around the 40th over and get some quick runs. They bowled out in the 42nd over or the 43rd over, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And you're right. Look, one-day cricket has changed from 2011 when India won the World Cup. But the one thing that hasn't changed is teams who can take wickets in the middle overs, like Jeff Lemon said, win World Cups. What happened then? Yuvraj Singh took 12 wickets, 15 wickets in that World Cup. When was he taking those wickets? In the middle overs. Think of that Pakistan game. He's the one who gets rid of Yunus Khan.
Yep.
Similarly, Harbhajan Singh was doing the same thing for India in the 2011 World Cup.
Right.
So even though now you can just have 4 fielders outside and not 5, now we have the class bowlers like Bumrah. We've seen it with the likes of New Zealand as well. They bring back bowlers who can take wickets in the middle overs. And that's what is like, you know, put these teams on the top of the table at this early stage of the World Cup. But yeah, I mean, Jasprit Bumrah, what do you say about him? He can take wickets with the new ball, in the death, and in the middle overs.
He could take him on the moon, probably, without a helmet. Why not? 2 for 19 off his 7 overs. Ridiculous figures. 2 for 35 off 10 for Kuldeep, who bowled really well through the middle. In fact, all of India's main bowlers took 2 wickets apiece. Nice and even scorecard. Shardul Thakur is the only one who didn't, who only bowled a couple of overs. I'm surely you bring Ashwin back for Shardul Thakur. You're not losing much with the bat, and he's giving you more variety with the ball, and they're not using Shardul much. Like, Rohit doesn't seem to like bowling him a lot.
This is my theory. It almost feels like every time they're going to play against a subcontinental team, they're going to play Shardul Thakur as a seamer. I mean, so far we've seen them play, against Australia, they had Ashwin. Mm-hmm. But against Afghanistan and Pakistan, mm-hmm. They've had Shardul Thakur. Their next game is against Bangladesh in Pune. I'm really looking forward to see what they do there. Yeah. They stick with Shardul Thakur. But you're right. On that pitch, with the troubles that Pakistan already had, throw an Ashwin in there, and do they even get to 191?
Yeah, well, exactly. So the chase, I mean, you've got two first-over operators here in Rohit Sharma and Shaheen Shah Afridi. Shaheen loves taking wickets in the first over. Rohit loves hitting boundaries in the first over. And if you're Rohit Sharma, you know what to expect. It's going to be left arm over the wicket. It's going to swing into your pads. And if it's perfectly pitched, if it's nice and full, it might crash into your pad or your stumps. But if it's just that back of a length a little bit, well, he just drop kicks it over mid-wicket for 4. And to me, that felt like it almost settled the chase immediately. I know it's vibey and superstitious, but it felt like if Pakistan were going to have a hope here, they had to have a Shaheen 2 wickets in the first 2 or 3 overs, rattling India immediately. And instead, he's clipped away for 4, a nice bit of timing. And then Shubman Gill drives one down the ground through mid-off, and Rohit keeps clipping boundaries, and Gill hits, 4 of them quickly, makes 16 in quick time, and they're just away so easily that even when Shubman Gill gets out, it's like it didn't feel like it would matter that much.
Shubman Gill, just listening to people who are at Ahmedabad tonight or at the stadium, loudest cheer went up when Shubman Gill's name was announced at the toss. Rohit Sharma said that he is playing. Yesterday it said that he has in classic Rohit Sharma fashion, I had a 98% chance of playing. So whatever that means. 98%, that's good odds. And he was right. So Shubman Gill was named on the side. And they were waiting to see him bat, right? First ever World Cup innings. What does he do? First ball he faces. It's just creams it through the covers for 4. It's like, here he is. The numbers, Jeff. He's just 60-odd runs away from 2,000 runs in ODI cricket. And it felt like he just started yesterday.
Well, most of them are this year. He's made about 1,200 this year.
It's incredible.
So, and he's got a fair while to go. I know people are keeping an eye on that Tendulkar 1,800 and whatever runs in a calendar year. I think he's less likely to get there now because he missed that one of the warm-up games beforehand and he missed the first 2 games here. But you never know. If he gets on a roll, it might happen. He's got 3 ODIs against South Africa in December, potentially. If they pick him for those, if they don't decide to rest him for those. So he gets out, he cuts to point, and Shaheen gets a wicket and does the big celebration and whatever, but it felt like it was a bit too late because Kohli comes in and Kohli loves a chase and he nails a cover drive immediately, absolutely clean and clinical. And in the meantime, Rohit's just kind of doing the Rohit stuff. And the cover drive is the 7th ball of a Shaheen over because he's bowled a wide, so the extra one he has to bowl is the one that gets hit for 4. And then Rohit just starts doing what he does, that big monster pull shot that he pulls out. And then a few overs later, the bang down the ground over long on and then the inside out over cover, back-to-back sixes. Like, it's spectacular. And I know people are going to look at this and say, oh, well, Rohit Sharma tailed them up opening the batting because that's what he does. But after this, and Kohli gets out, he chips one to mid on. He's out for 16 as well, I think. 16. So and it gets harder and harder to bat after that point. The pitch slows down. The scoring slows down. But Rohit keeps finding the boundary here and there in between playing carefully. And this it really reminded me of the 161, was it, that he made in the test match in 2021 in Chennai? Was it the second of the... There were 2 in Chennai, 2 in Ahmedabad, after they lost the first test. And I think India made probably 320 or thereabouts, and he made half the runs. And it was a tricky ground to bat on. It was a tricky pitch to bat on. England struggled mightily. And he just rattled off his 100, which made it look like it was easy to bat out there. He made it look like it was easy to bat in the first 10 overs. They made 77 off the first 10, and then it got really difficult after that, and it just proved how valuable that Rohit innings was.
And he seems to have come out with this really conscious approach. He got out really early on against Australia, but even against Afghanistan and here. And a little bit of Rohit Sharma I saw in the Asia Cup that, I mean, I compared him to, unfairly, I guess, to Mark Greatbatch. And what Mark but like, you know, that's what Mark Greatbatch did in 92.
In build, in stature?
No. I'm not going down that line. But if you remember the first ever pinch hit, everybody talks about Sanjay Jayasuriya. It was Mark Greatbatch in the 1992 World Cup.
Sure, but he used to make maybe 30 or 28 or something. Agricultural hoiks.
True.
Compared to a guy who's made 10,000 one-day runs.
And I just said like Rohit Sharma's doing it at another level. But yeah, he seems to
doing it at another level. That's a different planet. That's
I just want to talk about Mark Greatbatch. Nobody talks about Mark Greatbatch. We should all talk about Mark Greatbatch.
It's like saying Chris Harris is like Mattia Muralitharan because they both bowled. They both let the ball go out of their hands.
Tricky operators. You have something against the Kiwis, I know. But like, you know, he seems to have taken this conscious approach to really
Gavin Larson and Glenn McGrath. They really really had something about them.
Gavin Larson, better economy rate, by the way. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Rohit Sharma, he gets the first ball away for four. Uh-huh. But you can see he's charging down the wicket. Hassan Ali, he is trying to take him on his day to take on Shahid Shafridi as well.
Who's the Deepak Patel of the Indian side? It was that Akshar Patel. Left arm.
Washington
could bowl in the first 10 overs.
Yeah. Washington Sundar, if he was in the squad, would be Deepak Patel. R. Ashwin would kill me if I said he was Deepak Patel. But
We would never dare.
No, we would never dare do that. But yeah, and I think it's working. And he made that really quick 100 the other day against Afghanistan. And he looked like he was well on his way to another 100.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, it slowed down. But yeah, that's the thing with Rohit Sharma and Jasprit Bumrah in particular, right? Those two guys in this team, they can just take the pitch out of the equation with ball and bat. And that's what we saw both of them do on this ground today. And Rohit Sharma seems to be in that mood. He did not put one foot wrong today, right?
Except when he got out.
Yeah. Fine. And maybe the two overs that he gave to Shardul Thakur. I mean, you could argue that, like we said earlier, Ashwin could have played ahead of him. His captaincy was excellent. I'm sure he's been named player of the match. And his batting was just sublime.
Yep.
And even when he gets out, if anything, it tells you how difficult it had become to bat.
Little slower ball from Shaheen, just kind of curves his fingers around it, closes the bat face, chips it to mid-wicket. He's out for 86. Didn't want it enough. Clearly didn't want it enough. Could have had 100. Gets himself out. But Shreyas Iyer finishes it off with 50, which it will be a footnote, but was well played considering that he came in when it was getting tougher. And they finish it up 3 down, India. So they're top of the pops. Are they on net run rate? They've gone top. They're unbeaten. South Africa's unbeaten. The New Zealand are unbeaten. South Africa play New Zealand pretty soon, actually. That'll be a humdinger. I'll be at that game as well. So, all right, that's the game. Let's go to the final word, Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame, where we choose the moments that tickled us most today. I really enjoyed Jadeja bowling in the headband and the shades combo, really just leveling up after, like, he's always had a sartorial streak and a bit of panache, but that was a different level today. Hardik Pandya had the headband, but not the shades. A bit harder when you're bowling pace, I guess. The bit where Imam Ul Haq dives, slides, taps the ball back, stands up, tries to step back into the field of play, trips over the boundary rope and pushes the sponge onto the ball, thus conceding a four. So you're an umpire. So if you pull the rope inside the field of play and it touches the ball, that's a four.
Yeah.
But if you pull the rope away from where the boundary was and a ball stops where the boundary had been, that's also a four?
That's also a four, yeah. Because you mark the boundary.
Batters get everything.
Batters do get everything, yeah.
If you mark the boundary and then you pull the rope inside the boundary, then it shouldn't.
In that case, because you use cushions or even the rope, like in a lower grade level cricket, the rope kind of also, like the rope acts as the boundary, but so does the marker.
Also where the boundary was. So if you grab one end of the rope and run up to like short leg and then tap it on the ball, is that four?
Yes, I think it is. Okay. Like, yeah, legally. Right. I'm going to try doing that. But
I mean, you wouldn't be very popular as a fielder, but I'm just saying.
Could happen. Are you saying it hasn't happened? I'm pretty sure
What if the non-striker does it?
Oh.
Mm.
There you go.
Just a thought.
Now I just want to play a game of cricket with you so that we can pull these things off.
Exactly. What else have we got? We've got, well, I should have mentioned that the Hall of Fame is brought to you by Westfield London. The Extra Pass is a thing that's going on at the moment. You can get the Extra Pass if you go to Westfield London. You spend £25 at participating outlets. And every time you do that, you get a sticker. And as you get more stickers, you get more discounts. And every sticker you get an entry into the grand prize draw, which is a £1,000 spending card, if I recall correctly. Terms and conditions apply. Check out, just Google Westfield Extra Pass. You'll figure it out from there. What else have we got? I've got, I saw an ad on the TV for a peanut spread. Now, I don't know if this is actually peanut butter or if it's some fake version because they can't call it peanut butter, so they have to call it peanut spread. Yeah. But they were like, here it is. They have people putting it on toast and whatever. Here are the different applications you can use peanut spread for. And then a dude is dipping corn chips in a jar of peanut butter, just plain corn chips, and just shoveling them down, just eating them. What the fuck is going on there? That is not an acceptable use of peanut butter. I will not stand for that. That is unacceptable in this country or any other. What's going on? What, is that a thing? People putting peanut butter on corn chips here?
3 weeks ago when I was still back home and, you know, I'm on this gluten-free diet. I was dipping gluten-free corn. I was really hungry. Not in peanut butter, but in almond butter. Like, and it tasted So sorry, I have
it's
nothing.
It's even worse.
I know it is. So I have. I get it. I get what the dude was doing.
That's like tasteless and pretentious.
Almond butter is tasty.
Yeah, but also that's the pretentious.
I did feel a little sick, I must say.
Yeah, you should have. You should have felt sick just from that. That's not on. Sorry, go on.
Apologies. So no Mark Great Batch, Rohit Sharma comparisons, and no almond butter and corn chips.
Yes. Who came up with that? It is not acceptable. Sort that out. And what else have we got? There are a lot of GWS fans in Ahmedabad, a lot of Greater Western Sydney supporters. There were a lot of people came to the game today dressed as orange seats.
Ah, right.
Especially in the first innings. Considering all the big sellout talk we heard and the big 130,000 capacity talk we heard, a lot of seats with no one sitting in them, you know. I mean, there were a lot of seats with people sitting in them.
Yeah, true.
Don't get me wrong.
No, it was a big crowd.
But it makes it very evident when you have bright orange chairs and they're not occupied by Dutch supporters and they're not occupied by Indian training kits. What happened? Ticketing may not have worked perfectly. That's all. That's the conclusion I'm drawing from that.
I mean, I don't know whether you listened to Kuldeep Yadav when they spoke to him in the innings break. And he said, they asked him about performing in front of such a big crowd. He said, performing in front of 90,000 people. And then he said, or how many ever are here at the ground today? So maybe someone like put 90,000 in his head.
Yeah.
Look, I have a few Hall of Fame nominations. It mostly has to do with some of the celebrations of the wickets for India. Hardik Pandya, I mean, Stuart Broad made it really popular during the Ashes, like the flip of the bale and all of that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know whether you noticed, after Hardik Pandya had conceded those boundaries to Imam Ul Haq, he had a chat with the ball. He had the ball in his hands. He had a little bit of a chat.
Huh.
And he gets a wicket with that delivery. And then...
Happy Gilmore style.
Yeah, there you go, yeah.
Go into your home, ball. Why don't you want to go to your home, which is hitting the stumps, apparently?
Yeah, but this one was like slightly wide out of the stump and had Imam Ul Haq edging. And then he also had a little goodbye wave at Imam Ul Haq. And then there was also the other wicket for Hardik Pandya where Mohammad Nawaz hits it to Jasprit Bumrah. And the first thing Hardik Pandya does is make fun of Jasprit Bumrah's catching technique because Bumrah goes like that.
Hands
and,
up, and fingers
then
up.
And goes like that, ooh, takes the catch and nearly smashes his glasses because his glasses fall off the cap. And the entire Indian team then gets around him and makes fun of him. But it also tells you by then, India knew.
They're pretty relaxed.
Yeah, they're really relaxed. It is an India-Pakistan match.
Yeah.
And there were a few tense faces early on. Jadeja, as always, was the only one who looked cool. He always looks cool. Mm-hmm. But there were a few tense faces around in the first 7-8 overs. But I think by that time, when Mohammad Nawaz gets out, they're pretty chilled out. And that would be my other Hall of Fame nomination. I know...
Hall of Foam might be if something was flimsy, like a house of cards. This is a Hall of Foam.
Hall of Foam.
You could wash it away. A Hall of FOMO is when you wish you were there.
Yeah. Did you have FOMO or not?
I didn't really have FOMO
not
today.
Really,
I would have liked to hear the noise. The noise would have been cool.
It would have been quite nice. I mean, look, it looked noisy, if that makes sense.
Noisy.
Right? And I don't know how many of you watched the Hindi feed of these games.
I did.
You did.
I actually did.
Yeah. And he picked up a bit of Hindi as well. You know, and the obviously ye hai aakhri shabd was like me teaching him Hindi, but Ravi Shastri on Hindi commentary is fantastic because every second sentence he starts with an English word and then he corrects himself with a Hindi word and then he just gives up midway and says, I'm just going to speak in English. But that just, so for all the bombast that you see from Ravi Shastri and the English commentary box, he's just so cute in the Hindi commentary box.
Aram se, bhai saab. Okay, that's it. This has been the Final Word World Cup Daily. Day 10, we are kind of getting close to a quarter of the way through. We'll be back for day 11. Of course, Jeff Lemon and Bharat Sundaresan. England play Afghanistan tomorrow. Pakistan's next fixture is against Australia, am I right in
that
saying?
That is correct.
And India's next fixture is against Bangladesh.
Bangladesh in Pune.
Nailed it. Didn't even look that up. It's just tattooed on my soul. We will see you next time we make a daily show, which will be tomorrow. That's how daily shows work. Good night.
Chalo, milte hain. George Benson, I ain't protected, brother, I ain't fenced in. If my future questions my current senses, that'd be the same we've been doing for centuries. Sorry if I ran out to empty, wrote this so you know what I meant here. I had to go about